Daniel chapter 12, please, this morning. Daniel chapter 12. I hope that you've got maybe a pen, piece of paper, something you could write some things down on. Not that I think it's anything that I say that is worthy, but something that God would do for you this morning as we preach about what's happening in our world today. Would you notice, please, with me one verse of Scripture this morning, and we'll stand together, we'll read one verse and pray and let you be seated, and then try to bring the conclusion to the message this morning that we started 2 weeks ago. Daniel chapter number 12 and verse number 6, one verse of Scripture. And the Bible said, "And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders?" He said, how long shall it be? And he goes on to talk about the tribulation period and the things that are coming very shortly upon this planet Earth. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we beseech you in the name above Jesus that you might visit with us today. May the presence and power of God have right away in this service. God, touch every heart. Save that one closest to eternity. May the presence of God be all sufficient for everything we need. Father, we love you today. We thank you for all that you've done. Now we pray as John prayed, even so come quickly, Lord Jesus. Bless us now as we study and preach your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, my friend. You may be seated. Hold your Bible open. We'll be turning to some different passages this morning. One of those in Matthew chapter number 24, if you want to be finding that in just a few minutes. Now, we started about 2 weeks ago on the subject, what is happening in our world today. I gave you several things. The Bible tells us we're living in perilous times. He says in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 that in the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of their own selves, and they'll be boasters, covetous, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, from having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. The Bible gives us several indications as to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells us what to look forward to. One of the things that we've already preached about is that, number one, is that the Gentiles are being cut off. And the Bible tells us in the book of Romans and chapter number 11 that in the end time that the Gentiles would be cut off and then the Jews would be grafted back in. I mentioned to you 2 weeks ago, keep your eye on the nation of Israel. Israel is a key picture in this puzzle. You'll find that the Bible describes Israel, and we'll end up there this morning in Matthew chapter number 24. But I read to you some quotations. One thing that we need to keep in mind is that all those Muslim nations that surround Israel, and if you were to look at a map, you would find that Israel would be a small speck in a great sea of Muslim empire. My friend, their goal is in mind is to come down into Israel and to conquer Israel. I hope to soon preach, maybe even next week, on the coming war with Russia and with Iran and with Egypt. So you be here and hear that message hopefully next week. But we find that Israel, we keep our eye on the nation of Israel and see the things that are unfolding. Second of all, we preached about the seed of the serpent. As it is increasing and the seed of the woman is decreasing. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? Jesus spoke of in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. He said as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. We see that evil today is taking over. We see evil growing at an alarming rate. We see that, my friend, when you turn on the newscast, you see the mass shootings, you see the battery across America and across the world. But then third of all, we preached also about what's happening is that the battle of evil spirits for the minds and bodies of men. The Bible said in Matthew chapter number 12 that Jesus himself talked about, that in the last days that there'd be an influx of those evil spirits. And I believe that we're seeing that today. The Bible says Paul warned us in the book of Ephesians to take on the whole armor of God. We've got to be suited up. We've got to be outfitted. We are in a battle. You may not realize it. You may not want to acknowledge it, but we are in a spiritual battle. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities, with powers, with the rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We are in a spiritual warfare. The things that come into your life are not by accident. The things that haunt people as far as their temper, as far as their addictions, those, my friend, I believe, have their roots in those evil spirits. But then also we come this morning in the time we've got. I want to give you about three other things as we bring this message to a close. But number four, we find there is a battle of Satan for this earth. I believe as this earth is beginning to groan and travail, we see it in our weather. We see that out west, such a burning up of our country, the temperature soaring here in our part of the country. Man alive, have you ever seen a July to where we've had so much rain? Some of you say, boy, thank God for it, for all the rain. Yes, sir, I do. But at the same time, too much can be a bad thing. Some of those farmers know what I'm talking about. But we see that this earth that we're living on is beginning to groan. And the Bible said that as a woman in labor, as she travails to give birth to a child, so the earth would be prior to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to the book of Revelation. I'll ask you this morning to try to follow me, and we'll point out some things to you this morning. Hopefully, they'll be a benefit for you. In Revelation chapter number 12, I know this is speaking of during the tribulation period. I understand the time frame in mind. I know what the Bible has to teach us here. But if you'll notice in Revelation chapter 12, the Bible said, therefore, in verse 12, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. I believe this, my friend. Satan knows he has but a short time. And because he knows he's got a short time, he's pulling out all the stops. He's working overtime. I believe he's got all the demons of hell around the clock trying to thwart the work of God. I believe he's come up against our country. I believe he's come up against our churches. I believe he's come up against our people. And the Bible tells us that Satan knows he's got a short time, and yet he pulls out the stops. He's working overtime. Would to God today, we as Christians, if we believe that we have but a short time left, let's dedicate ourselves to serving the Lord. Let's not play church. Let's get busy for God. Let's do the things that's going to count for eternity. Let's not be so wrapped up in the things of the world that we lose sight of what's going to be important 10 years from today. From 100 years from today, what will matter? And the Bible tells us that Satan is working overtime. But then number five, notice with me that spiritual darkness is covering the earth. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 4, this is what Paul said, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. We could stop right there and preach a message. The Bible said the God of this world. You know who he's talking about? He's talking about the devil, the God of this world. He has blinded the minds of them that believe not. The Bible said, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. There is a spiritual darkness that is sweeping our land. There's a spiritual darkness that's sweeping our world. First of all, there is heathen darkness. There are multitudes and multitudes of people that, my friend, they are in darkness. Christ. You don't have to go overseas. You don't have to go to Africa to find them. You don't have to go to India to find them. We have people today in America that are in spiritual darkness. My friend, the only hope they have is the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Romans, we've been teaching on Wednesday night, Paul says in chapter number 1 that they are without excuse. Listen to me now. Let me ask you a question. Does the man in darkest Africa that has never heard about Jesus Christ, all he worships is some heathen god. All he worships is the moon, the sun, the stars. Some person overseas somewhere that doesn't even speak English, doesn't know anything about this Bible, doesn't know anything about our God, doesn't know anything about salvation, the blood of Christ. May I ask you, when he dies, where will his soul go to? Paul said in Romans chapter 1, not a one of those people will be able to point their finger in the face of God and say to the Lord God Almighty, I never heard the gospel. I never heard about Jesus, so I deserve to go to heaven. No, my friend, even that man that dies in darkest Africa that has never heard the gospel, has never heard a preacher, has never heard an invitation, has never heard the gospel presented, he will die lost in his sins and go to a devil's hell. Beloved, you say, that's not right. That's not just. Paul said, it is our responsibility. Woe unto us if I preach not the gospel. He said, how shall they hear unless one be sent? My friend, you are a missionary. Either you are a missionary or you are a mission field. My friend, may I encourage you, look around to those that are lost. Your friends, loved ones, acquaintances, children in your neighborhood. Get them under the sound of the gospel. There's a heathen darkness, but second of all, there is spiritual darkness. There are cults popping up across our country. There are cults that are thriving in our land today. I mentioned to you, not trying to throw stones, but I saw where there is a church of Obama. There is a church today that folks recognize and meet and worship Obama. They're saying that he is the Messiah. You say, preacher, I just don't believe all of that. If you've been around long enough, you remember Jim Jones that led a bunch of people to drink Kool-Aid and kill themselves. Honey, I got news for you. That spiritual darkness is accompanying our country. It's sweeping over our nation. Cults are popping up. People that deny the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's the Son of God. Oh, by the scores, we need to preach the gospel loud and strong. The Bible says, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. There are some folk today that believe they're saved. They follow a certain set of standards. They follow a certain dictate of man. They follow certain cults across this land. And they believe that they're going to inherit eternal life. And they are lost and blinded by the spiritual darkness across this country. But then third of all, there's satanic darkness. You see it in the movies. You see it in the TV programs. You see it in our children's games. You see it in the music of our land today. If you agree with that, say amen. There is a satanic darkness that's coming over our country. I mean, folks today are flocking to things that have to do with the occult, have to do with the dark side of things. You say, preacher, what's the answer? The answer is Jesus. Jesus is the light. He came into this world, into a dark place, that the light would be shown. The only hope of spiritual darkness is the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It must be preached. There must be men to stand up and proclaim that Jesus saved. If not, spiritual darkness will continue. My friend, what is darkness, by the way? Darkness is an absence of light. When there is no light, darkness takes over. Hear me out. Hear me out. But preachers like myself are becoming fewer and far between. I'm not planting any roses on me. But I'm saying to you today, I warn you, that with the absence of light, with the absence of preaching, darkness encroaches upon us. Oh, listen. Pray for the man of God today. Pray for the people of God today. Brother Cody Zorn, I meant to mention, I believe he's under spiritual attack. Brother Cody Zorn, great man of God, 28 years of age. Some of you heard him preach. But my friend, his little boy, was diagnosed with cancer in his kidney. They had to operate. He's only 3 or 4 years old. And they told me the other day, Brother Cody has come out for, had to come off the road. Hey, can I tell you something? That the absence of preaching and the absence of light is the spiritual darkness will begin to come over our country. You pray for him. But then number six, look in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 quickly. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, I'll not keep you long this morning. There's one other thing that I want to give to you. And then I'll let you go this morning. But I want to show you something. We are living under the spirit of Antichrist. Now, listen. I did not say that Antichrist, we know who he is. We are living in the spirit of Antichrist. What do you mean, preacher? Look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 7. Listen to this. He said, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Stop right there. Put in the margin of your Bible. He is referring to verse 7. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. He's talking about the Holy Spirit of God. What is the only two things that's holding back the tide of sin in this world? Two things. One is Christians. Two, the Holy Spirit. When the rapture takes place and the Christians are out, the Holy Spirit is out, guess what? Then that spirit of Antichrist will rule this world. Look what he says. And then shall that wicked be revealed. In the original writings, it says the wicked one, speaking of the devil. Right after the rapture of the church, and by the way, we are looking for the trumpet of God to sound, the dead in Christ be raised, the living gonna be changed, and the church of Jesus Christ is gonna be out of here. I didn't say the Baptist. I didn't say the Methodist. I didn't say Presbyterian. I said the church, the blood-washed, born-again believers are going to be out of here. Now watch this. When we leave, then Antichrist steps on the scene. We don't know who he is. I believe this. I believe he is living today. I believe he's a man today. I don't know who he is. I don't know where he's at. But I believe he's alive today. Why do you believe that? Because if I believe that Jesus will come at any minute, then Antichrist will step on the scene after. Now watch this. He goes on to say, whom the Spirit, or whom shall consume the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, watch it everybody, for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. They should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Here's how it reads. When the Christians are gone, Antichrist comes on the scene. Holy Spirit's taken out when we're taken out. When Antichrist steps on the scene, he's going to convince people that he is God. According to Revelation chapter 13, I believe he'll be assassinated. I believe the Bible said in Revelation chapter 13, he'll receive a deadly head wound. The world will see him die. The cameras will zoom in on him, and then he'll rise back to life, according to Revelation 13. He'll walk into the temple of God. He'll set himself on the throne of God. He will proclaim himself to be God. The world will fall down and worship him, and they'll say, hey, he is God. The only other one we ever knew that rose from the dead was Jesus. And when that happens, here's what he says. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth. We are living under the spirit of Antichrist, a spirit of lies today. Amen? Listen to me now, church, listen to me. Don't believe everything you hear over the TV. Say amen. Don't do it. Try the spirits to see whether they be of God or not. Don't believe everything you hear over CBS, NBC, ABC, even Fox. Don't believe that all. Well, preacher, they broadcast it. I guess it's got to be true. No, sir. We are living under a spirit of Antichrist today. What am I saying? We are living in an age today where people believe lies and count it to be the truth. We're living in a world today where people believe it's okay to lie. I read where 60-some percent people in America believe it's all right to lie on occasion. Call it a half-truth, a white lie, whatever else, 60% of people believe it's all right to be untruthful. Take it a step further, the average of lies per day by men to their boss, to their partner, to their colleagues. Oh, the average lies told by men on a daily basis, how many think that is? Less than 10 or more than 10? Less than 10, 6 lies per day per man. Average number of lies per day by women to their partner, bosses, or colleagues. What'd you say? That's close. 3. Percent of adults. Let me finish. Percent of adults who admit to telling lies sometimes or often 12%. What am I saying? We're living in a world where lying is acceptable. The father of lies is the devil. The truth is Jesus Christ. What I'm saying is we are setting the stage for Antichrist to be the father of all lies, to step on the scene, and he will convince people, even though he's speaking a lie, they'll believe it's the truth. The Bible says it right there. So we are now living, the mystery of iniquity is heading it up. And this is my last point. Now hang with me if you haven't. Give me about 5-10 minutes. If you want really something that'll stick in your craw, listen to me. The harvest of the earth is getting very ripe. First of all, turn to Revelation 14. I want you to see something. Revelation 14. This is the battle of Armageddon in Revelation 14. It's also spoken of in Revelation 19. But in Revelation 14, John sees an angel come from heaven, and he has a sharp sickle in verse number 17. As John is seeing the unfolding of the future events, he sees an angel fly out of heaven and he has a sharp sickle. I hope everybody knows what a sickle is, right? It's a curved instrument they used to harvest wheat with. He flies out of heaven. Look in verse 18. Another angel came out of the altar which had power over fire and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, "Thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth for her grapes." Now watch this. Her grapes are what? If you're reading along with me, her grapes are what? Fully ripe. Now, let me explain that phrase, fully ripe. Fully ripe is what some of you tomato farmers are experiencing right now. I heard this the other day. I haven't had a good tomato sandwich yet. I heard some of you say this the other day, my tomatoes are rotten on the vine. Right? I heard people say the other day, as they're beginning to ripen, they're rotten. This is what he says. When he says they're fully ripe, he's not talking about nice fruit that you pull off the vine and you eat it. He's talking about it's rotten. It's at the point to be cast away, good for nothing. It is rotten fruit. And he says to the angel, look here, in verse number 19. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast into the great winepress of the wrath of God. What's he talking about? Is he talking about grapes? No, sir. He's talking about mankind. He's talking about human beings. He's talking about that crowd that's going to converge upon the nation of Israel at the Battle of Armageddon. And now, he says, thrust in thy sickle. The harvest is rotten. The place is corrupt. Watch what happens in verse 20. The winepress was trodden without the city, and blood, not grape juice, came out of the winepress to the horse's bridle, They estimate that about 5 to 5.5 foot, I think. I'm not a horseman. 5 to 5.5 foot. And he says, by the space of 1,600 furlongs, here's what happens. When those armies are gathered at Armageddon and an angel comes thrust in a sickle, blood will run, not the grape juice. Blood will run approximately 5 feet deep down through the streets of Jerusalem for 1,800 miles. Blood. The harvest of the earth is getting ripe. Now here's where we end up. Matthew 24. Please turn, everybody, if you've got a Bible. I shared this with my wife last night. Look at Matthew 24. Let me say before I even read this, Matthew 24 tells me that no man knoweth the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. Y'all believe that? Say amen. It is foolish for us to set a date. However, with that being said, I think that God wants us to know, he says, the times and the seasons. Now watch something, Matthew 24. Matthew 24 is a prophecy given to the nation of Israel, not to the church. Church has not been birthed yet in Matthew 24. Church was not born to the day of Pentecost. So Matthew 24 and Luke all have to do with prophecy relating to the nation of Israel. He talks in Matthew 24 about the tribulation, the abomination of desolation when Antichrist sets himself in the temple of God. All of this has to do with the second coming of Christ. The second coming of Christ. Okay? Now watch something. Look in Matthew 24, 32. If you got a pen, you might want to write this down. Matthew 24, 32. Now learn a parable. This is Jesus, by the way. Now learn a parable of fig tree when its branch is yet tender and putteth forth his fruit, putteth forth his leaves. You know that summer is nigh. Stop right there. How many of you realize and agree with me the fig tree always in the Bible is pointing and typifying the nation of Israel? Say amen. It does. Whether you believe it or not, it does. So these disciples, as they spoke to Jesus, and Jesus foretold the destruction of the temple, he foretold the coming of the Antichrist, he foretold about the wars and earthquakes and the pestilence, he told all that in Matthew 24. They said, when are all these things going to come to pass? Can you tell us, give us an insight? Can you let us know when, what to expect? He said, when the fig tree put forth her leaves, you know that summer is near. The fig tree is the nation of Israel. May 15th, 1948, Israel became a nation once again. For hundreds and thousands of years, Israel was not a nation. But May of 1948, in the generation that we're living in now, Israel became a nation. Now, that's from history. We know that. May 15th, 1948. Now read the next verse with me. So likewise, when ye see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Now here's the next verse I want to leave you with this morning. Verse 34. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Now, before I go any further, let me reiterate. Jesus himself said in verse 36, but of the day and the hour knoweth no man, know not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So before I go any further, let me clarify that I am not saying I'm setting a date. I want you to think about something. Look at verse number 34. The phrase, this generation. What is he speaking of? Jesus said, when you see the budding of the fig tree, when you see the fig tree put forth its branches and leaves, you know that summer is near. You know the end is near. When you see this come to pass, it came to pass when Israel became a nation, May 1948. Now, Jesus says, know this, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. here's what I believe, is that he is saying that some of those people that saw Israel become a nation in 1948, some of those people will be living when all these things are clear. Now, we have to come back and say, how long is a generation, preacher? The best insight I can give you is in Psalm chapter 90 and verse number 10. And if you have your Bibles, here's what I want you to do. Psalm 90 and verse number 10. Let me read that to you this morning. Write it down somewhere. Some of you know this by heart. Science has confirmed the average lifespan of a man is what? 70 years. Psalm 90 verse 10, here's what it says. The days of our years are 70, 70 years. Science, medical science has confirmed what the Bible's already said. They say that in America, the average man lives to be 70 years of age. Women live a little bit longer. Now, read on. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. So here in Psalm 90 verse 10, he says that the average lifespan of a man is somewhere between 70 and 80 years. So if we go back to this, and if we believe that Israel is the budding fig tree, and if we believe that some people that saw Israel come to be a nation in 1948 will be living when Jesus comes for the church, let's do the math. 2013 minus 1948, somebody that's good at math, what is it? 65 years from that time that Israel became a nation until right now. Now, what do we say? Average lifespan of a man is 70 has already passed. Let's say 80 years. I'm just giving you some food for thought. He said all these things would come to pass, that generation. So if that be 80, what is 65? From 80 is what? 15.
You've got to take into consideration the 7-year tribulation. That's included in that time. Subtract 7 from 15.
Food for thought. Are you saying, preacher, Jesus is coming in 2021? No, sir. He could come right now and fulfill everything. But wouldn't it be something? Wouldn't it be something to know that we only have 8 years left? How many of you believe he can come today? Say amen.
Jesus said, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. I didn't make this up. I'm just trying to expound the Word of God. I'm just trying to tell you. Listen, what I'm trying to say to you is that we are running out of time. Do what you're going to do. Better do it now.
Because I believe this, that within a few short days, weeks, hours, months, the trump of God could sound. Amen. Don't you go out of here this morning and say, our preacher said Jesus is coming in 8 years. Son, he could come before 12:15. Amen. There is nothing that has to happen, and he could have it all worked out. But I'm telling you something, when you read the Bible and study the Bible, God doesn't want us to be ignorant concerning those things. He doesn't set a date. He told us, don't you set a date. Don't you say he's coming. Some of the Jehovah's Witnesses said he came in 1915 and they had to rechange the theology. No, sir, I'm not going to be that. I'm not going to sit down and say Jesus is coming in 2013 or 2014 or 2015. But he's coming back. We know he's coming back and he's coming soon. Woe would to God we'd get busy if we only had a few years left.